Canva.
Yeah, it is. In sports, as in business, if you look good, you feel good, and you play good.
That's why we love Canva. It's simply the best online graphic design software we've ever used.
Neither one of us are designers, and yet both of us have created beautiful designs for our business using Canva.
We designed our merch on Canva.
We designed our social posts on Canva.
We designed the signs for our T-Boy Live show on Canva.
True story. Oh, and Canva isn't just for startups or entrepreneurs either, because 90% of Fortune 500 companies now use Canva.
But it definitely is for startups like us, the T-Boy Podcast Media Company.
Our creative director literally said she cannot live without Canva.
And we believe her. It'll make your business look good, which will make you feel good, and you'll perform better.
So Yeti, start designing today at canva.com. Canva, designed for work.
This episode is sponsored by Audible, the home of storytelling.
Protect her.
That's from the opening chapter of The Last Thing He Told Me.
Or is it protect her?
It's protect her.
Yeah, it's like that.
It's a thrilling mystery my wife and I listened to on Audible.
It actually got adapted into a TV show, but it was way more riveting as an audiobook, wasn't it, man?
It's about a tech executive who disappears when his company gets indicted on accounting fraud.
But he disappeared to protect her. And honestly, we shouldn't say anymore. Let's stop
that. We listened to the whole audiobook on Audible while driving in the car on road trips.
And you should too. As an Audible member, you can choose one title a month to keep from their entire catalog.
New members can try Audible free for 30 days. Visit audible.com/T-Boy or text T-Boy to 500-500.
That's audible.com/T-Boy or text T-Boy to 500-500. Airbnb.
It's wedding season.
Yes, it is. What's going on, baby?
Alex and I just got invited to a beautiful venue for the wedding of a childhood buddy of mine.
Lovely. Can't wait to hear about
it. We got babysitters. We're all set to go.
And the first thing that you did, Jack?
Book a hotel for the wedding.
Okay, second thing that you did?
List my place as available that weekend on Airbnb.
Millions of people host on Airbnb, but millions more have never even thought about hosting.
Here's the thing. We've said it's great to make money while you sleep. Actually, Warren Buffett said that.
Well, when you're an Airbnb host, you make money while you sleep and while someone else sleeps.
That's why anytime I'm traveling, I immediately jump into Airbnb and set my house as available. It's that easy.
So Yetis, your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host. This is Nick.
This is Jack.
It's Thursday, the new Friday, November 9th. And today's pod, it is the best one yet. It is a T-Boy.
Good to pod again with you in person.
Great to pod with you. Jack, can I ask a social manners question quickly for the Yetis?
Social manners?
Okay, last night at dinner, we ordered the exact same thing. Is that okay? Is that permissible?
Yeah.
I think so. I agree.
Same. Yeah. I'll have the same as him.
The Bombay Curry Shaman Bowl
at Great White,
which was fantastic. We both got them.
It was delicious.
And we have nothing to apologize for.
Who's talking about an apology?
Okay, I just wanted to get ahead of the story, Jack. First story for today's show. What do we got?
Nintendo stock jumped yesterday as it confirmed it's turning Zelda into a movie.
Yetis, the secret to scaling creativity is more creativity.
For our second story, American credit card balances just passed a whopping $1
trillion. $1 trillion. Yetis, there is good debt and there is bad debt. And this is the worst kind of debt.
And our third and final story. One random line from the Stephen Colbert Late Night Show is making Google nervous.
And that line is about Google's competition and Gen Z.
But Yetis, before we hit that wonderful mix of stories.
Oh, yesterday's show was so much fun, but today's show is just fantastic.
Nick and I are still in Los Angeles. I'm flying back to the East Coast tomorrow.
Do not sit in seat 17A.
Seat 17A should be destroyed.
Niche, we do not like it.
Yetis, it's a quick trip. Nick and I actually had a speaking event in Beverly Hills.
Yeah, T-Boy 90210.
But since we're in California, Nick and I want to talk about something uniquely Los Angelican.
We want to talk about something uniquely Los Angelino?
No, Los Anglican.
Los Angeles. And that thing is the drive-thru.
The drive-thru. Because the drive-thru came of age in L.A. 80 years ago.
Yeah, because Yetis, if you want to go somewhere in L.A., you are going to have to drive to wherever that where is.
We've been persecuted for walking.
We walked half a mile and people did not believe us.
Los Angeles was the first city to let diners grab fries without getting out of the car.
Jack, if you're going to get in that chassis, you're going to want fries with that.
Drive-thrus. It's what LA does.
You're not on the 405 unless you got a fried chicken in your lap.
And the New York Times just did a deep dive on the drive-thru industry, which is thriving in America right now.
Get this. Drive-thru sales are up 30% since 2019.
Yeah, 30% more Americans are driving their big Denali through the drive-thru.
Taco Bell's newest drive-thru, it has four lanes.
It's like an interstate highway.
Chick-fil-A's newest drive-thru, it's two stories tall.
It's like a skyscraper.
Yetis, Jack and I saw that, and we just had to know.
Who invented the two-way microphone that lets you talk with the cashier?
Because we all know that the most important part of the drive-thru is the two-way microphone that you're trying to get an order in.
No, I asked for three number twos.
We're not two number twos or three number twos over there.
No, a junior bacon cheeseburger.
No, liter of cola. I just had a double liter of cola over there.
Yetis, we have all had an intense interaction with a microphone. You have to enunciate into the drive-thru microphone.
But our question for you, which fast food chain invented the two-way drive-thru microphone?
Which chain created the drive-thru microphone that everyone uses today?
Here's the hint. The fast food chain is headquartered in California.
And here's the answer. We'll tell you at the end of today's show.
It's the best fact yet.
Yes, it is. In the meantime, Jack, let's hit our three stories.
15 years before this song, two boys from the Northeast met in the dorm. They had an idea that caused a cultural storm. It's the best one yet, but the best is the norm. Jack, Nick, that's it. I don't even think they need to practice. 50%, that's a fat tip. T-Boy City on your at list. If you know, you know, cause we ready to go. We can't wait no more, so just start the show.
For our first story, Nintendo just announced a Zelda movie is coming out. But here was the real highlight.
Nintendo told us how they scale creativity.
We'll tell you in the takeaway. But first, Jack, can we talk about the big complaint that everyone's complaining about Nintendo?
Investors complain that Nintendo is too focused on video games.
Which is like an awkward complaint. It's like when we get DMs that say we're doing too much podcast.
Yeah, it's like that's what we do.
Like Nintendo is a video game company.
They are one of the top two video game companies in the world alongside Sony.
But here's the interesting thing, Yetis. The complaint about Nintendo doing too much video games, it's actually a financial complaint.
Investors are worried that 90% of Nintendo's revenues come from video games and video game consoles.
90% of the company is depending just on video games.
Investors would prefer some kind of a backup revenue plan.
Well, Jack, we just got the earnings from Nintendo. What kind of numbers are we seeing, man?
In the first half of the year, they made 800 billion yen in revenue.
Jack, can we get a foreign exchange translation on that, please?
That's $5 billion of video game revenue.
$5 billion. Because Yeti's 20 million people bought the latest Zelda video game, boosting Nintendo's overall sales by 21%.
3 million units of Mario Kart 8 Deluxe were sold.
Ooh, Revenge of the Green Shell.
But 93% of the revenue was still video games.
Ah, it was still video games.
Investors are still complaining. But Yetis, Nintendo just announced a plan to appease those pesky investors with some more non-video game sales.
And here is the super non-secret Nintendo plan.
One movie per year.
Yeah, not two, not three, not zero. One Nintendo movie every single year.
Because Yetis, the Barbie movie got all the headlines this year.
But the Super Mario movie, that also came out this year, didn't it, Jack?
Super Mario, I watched the movie, it was great, and it made just about the same box office revenues as Barbie did.
So Nintendo now says, hey, we've been a video game company, people are complaining about all our video games, why don't we basically become a movie company?
Yeah, Nintendo wants to make more movies just like the Mario movie, and they're starting with Zelda.
Nintendo just confirmed they're making a Zelda movie.
And they further committed to release one new movie every year based on their video games.
Pokemon, they're getting a movie.
Super Smash Brothers 2.
Kirby is even getting a movie.
You think Duck Hunt could get a movie?
I think Duck Hunt could get a movie. I mean, Jack, I heard Donkey Kong just signed with the United Talent Agency. They got an agent. Oh, by the way, who do you think is going to play Princess Peach?
In a live-action movie?
Absolutely live-action. What do you think, man?
Maybe the girl who serves ice cream from Stranger Things.
It's Rachel McAdams all the way. Are you kidding?
Maybe it's Ethan Hawke's daughter.
Money is on Rachel McAdams. Yetis, Nintendo says that one movie a year is their aim to put smiles on everyone's faces. That's a direct quote from the CEO.
We love that sentence. But it's also an aim to satisfy those investors who want Nintendo to diversify.
You want them smiling as well. So, Jack, what's the takeaway for our buddy Rachel McAdams and all of Nintendo?
To scale creativity, the secret ingredient is more creativity.
Yeah, it's the original creativity. Yetis, you might think that growing non-video game revenue should be easy for Nintendo.
Nintendo owns Zelda, a beloved video game. Can't they just hand the IP rights to some Hollywood studio? Piece of cake, blockbuster movie.
Well, that would be wrong.
Because 30 years ago, Nintendo tried that. It was a huge mistake. The first Mario movie in the 90s was a huge failure.
Yetis, Nintendo's first Mario movie, it was a bust 30 years ago. So this time, they're doing something different.
Nintendo took control of the creative.
Yes.
With the original creative team that created Mario.
Nintendo assigned their top creative, Shigeru Miyamoto, the guy who invented Mario, to work on this Mario movie.
This is Nintendo's creative A-team that was behind this year's Mario movie, and that made it a huge success.
And guess what? They're replicating it again. Now Mr. Miyamoto is deeply involved in the Zelda movie production, who he also invented.
This one man invented both the Mario character and the Zelda character.
He is the creative because he created the characters, and now he's the one focused on both movies.
He's the most precious resource at Nintendo, and they're dedicating him to these movies.
Because the truth is, to scale creativity, you need more creativity. For our second story, Americans' credit card balances just rose to a record high of $1 trillion.
But like fats, there's good debts and there's bad debts. And that's what we want to talk about.
Jack, one thing we have not talked about, though, is it's funflation, right? Funflation.
Funflation. Pent-up demand for fun this summer had us all splurging.
It's kind of fun to say, too, because our GDP rose to a shocking 5% this summer.
That's one of the fastest economic growth quarters in 20 years.
And that was driven by consumer spending on travel, on concerts, and on just good old having fun.
It was funflation. And it happened this past summer.
You went to Six Flags, you bought an $18 popcorn, and then you vomited it up, didn't you, Jack?
Is that funflation?
It was fun when you were eating the popcorn.
But here's the key that we want to ask. How did Americans pay for that funflation this summer?
Well, Yetis, we've got the answer. It wasn't stimulus checks, and it wasn't paychecks. It was credit cards.
Get this. The United States government tallies up all the credit card balances of every American each quarter.
I mean, that sounds kind of freaky. It feels like a little bit of a privacy
violation. It's a big number. They add up American Express, MasterCard, and Visa. And the amount of plastic debt that Americans had hit a record $1.08 trillion last quarter.
Sit down, stand up, and sign on the bottom line. $1.08 trillion. Could you sprinkle on some context, Jack?
That is the number one. Followed by 12 zeros. There's four commas.
We've never seen credit card debt of Americans at $1 trillion.
And that $1 trillion is up 40% in just 2 years. It's kind of alarming.
Now, Jack, if we're going to continue this story, we're going to need to sprinkle on some clarification, too.
That $1 trillion, it's not the amount you spent swiping your credit card and then paid off.
No, Yetis, that $1 trillion is the amount you didn't pay off.
It's the amount you rolled from month to month and had to pay interest on.
Okay, now we got to talk about this part, Jack. The interest rate that the credit card company charges us on that $1 trillion in credit card debt.
Because of high interest rates overall, credit card interest rates are at an all-time high.
Yetis, the average credit card interest rate is over 20%.
So this is bad news. The $1 trillion Americans have in credit card debt is charged 20% interest.
And on the scale of debts, Yetis, there is no worse debt than credit card debt.
Student loans, car loans, mortgages, they all have way lower interest rates than credit cards.
Right. Credit cards is the worst. Although there is mafia debt. Mafia debt is a bad kind of debt, Jack, right?
Yes.
You don't want to mess with Johnny Fiamma kind of debt, right? If you have mafia debt, you're not paying interest in money. You're paying interest in fingers.
True.
Yeah.
That's the worst kind of debt.
You don't want gabagool kind of debt.
Loan shark debt, bookie debt is worse than credit card debt.
But credit card debt is a very bad debt.
The worst besides the mafia and bookies.
I'm glad we pointed that out. So, Jack, what's the takeaway for all our buddies who may have credit card debt?
Like fats, there are good debts and there are bad debts.
Yetis, if you've got a low interest mortgage, that is a type of debt. That actually looks like a very good debt right now.
With a low interest mortgage, you can live in your home as you pay off the debt. And just pay a low interest rate every month.
So, for example, a 2.85% mortgage rate, that's a low interest rate debt, right?
It's like an avocado. That's the good fat right there.
You want to hang on to that 2.85% mortgage rate as long as you can. It's a good debt, like an avo.
But on the other hand, there's credit card debt. And that is bad debt.
That is your trans fatty kind of debt.
At 20% interest, interest payments can rack up faster than you're able to pay it down.
So, besties, if you have credit card debt, which is a bad debt, your financial priority should be to pay off that debt.
The financial downside of credit card debt is bigger than any upside of any other investment you can make.
Sorry, Jack, that's a powerful line. Can you just repeat that line for us? Because we should all absorb that line.
The financial downside of credit card debt, which is 20% interest, is bigger than any upside of any alternative investment.
Because Yeti's, not all debts are bad, but credit card debt is bad.
It's the worst.
Like gabagool.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp.
Yetis, how good is the feeling of finally getting something off your chest?
You've been wanting to say it. You've been waiting to say it.
But you bottled it up.
In Waspy, Vermont, where I grew up, we didn't talk much about our problems. We were encouraged to keep them to yourself.
Yetis, bottling up your feelings is just horrible for you because eventually it blows up with an outburst. And then while it's stewing, it makes your whole stomach feel terrible.
We encourage you to get it off your chest. And the perfect place to do that is therapy.
You will not believe how good it feels to say something that has been left unsaid, and you can practice with a therapist and then end up telling your loved ones the best way possible later on.
You don't have to tell them, but you could. It's 100% up to you. Oh, and by the way, what you tell your therapist remains completely confidential.
So if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try.
It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule.
Get it off your chest with BetterHelp.
Visit BetterHelp.com/T-Boy today to get 10% off your first month.
That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/T-Boy.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app today to get free delivery on your first three orders, while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
For our third and final story, last week on the Stephen Colbert Late Night Show, a single line was said that scared Google.
It was about TikTok, which is the greatest threat to Google's online search dominance.
Jack, let's turn on the TVs over here. Taylor Tomlinson, the comedian, appeared on Stephen Colbert's late night TV show.
It was a funny episode.
It was a good episode.
Stephen Colbert is a funny guy.
He's a good
guy.
It was a classic Colbert, right?
He asked her about her new job, you know, what she's promoting right now.
They were schmoozing and schmoozing away. It was really fun.
But then she said one line that was important.
Yes. Here's what she said.
She wanted to learn how to nail a job interview. She was telling a story.
Okay, but then what was the key part of her explanation, Jack?
In her story, she didn't Google how to nail a job interview. She TikToked it.
She searched for a video on TikTok about how to do her job interview.
Taylor Tomlinson is 30 years old, and the solution to the question she has wasn't reading websites she found on Google.
No, the solution apparently was watching a 2-minute video on TikTok.
This is troublesome information for Google.
Yes, it is.
Even worse was how she summed it up.
She said TikTok is Google for kids.
Yetis, let's turn to the data.
Jack, let's whip up the data, please.
Millennials, Gen X, and boomers, when we want to figure something out, we Google it.
We Google it. It's a verb. We Google something when we need it. We Google something 2 minutes ago, Jack.
But for everyone born after 1997, they don't Google it.
Right.
They TikTok it.
They've turned TikTok into their search verb.
Young people are the future, so this future looks concerning for Google.
Get these numbers, Yetis.
According to Google's own internal data, 40% of Gen Z prefers to search on TikTok or Instagram than to search on Google.
40% of young people prefer to TikTok or Instagram a search instead of Googling it.
And that's Google's own data. It's just a huge cultural divide.
Yeah.
We needed to find a restaurant last night, so we Googled tacos in Beverly Hills. That's what we do for all the information we need to find.
We Googled top taco recommendations by infatuation in Los Angeles. That's what we did.
But the 23-year-old at the table next to us probably opened up TikTok instead and searched for tacos in Beverly Hills and swiped some videos.
Yeah, like what we did to them was shocking, and what they did we think is shocking.
They can't believe we Googled it.
Yetis, Google is becoming Grandpa Google.
By the way, the restaurant was Gracias Madre. Yes. Thank you to all the Yetis who DM'd us that recommendation.
Fantastic.
And to all the other recommendations. We have a list now.
And we didn't use Ask Jeeves. So, Jack, what's the takeaway for our buddies over at Google?
Direct competition isn't necessarily the correct competition.
Yetis, here's what Jack and I found fascinating about this story. The threat to Google isn't Bing or DuckDuckGo, two search engines.
Those are the direct competitors to Google.
The greatest threat to Google is apparently Instagram and TikTok, two social media companies.
Those are the indirect competitors to Google.
And another threat to Google? It's AI chatbots, isn't it, Jack?
Another indirect competitor to Google.
Yetis, Google has a monopoly on our minds. 90% of the world is using Google search.
And yet the biggest risk to that domination is a social media app originally built for dance and karaoke videos.
Besties, it's a reminder that direct competition isn't necessarily the correct competition. Jack, can you whip up the takeaways for us for the new Friday?
Nintendo just confirmed that they're making a Zelda movie and one video game movie each year after that.
To scale creativity, Nintendo is giving more creativity.
For our second story, Americans' credit card debt just hit an all-time high $1 trillion.
Yeah, these debt, it's like fat. There's a good debt and there's a bad debt. And credit card debt, it's the worst debt.
Except for mafia debt. And our third and final story is a comment on the Stephen Colbert Show that was scary news for Google.
Because Google's direct competition,
Bing,
isn't the correct competition.
TikTok. We know because we TikTok. Yeah. But Yetis, this pod's not over yet. Here's what else you need to know today.
First, the Actors Union has reached a tentative agreement with the Hollywood studios.
If the deal gets ratified, the Hollywood strike will be over. We'll get more movies and more shows finally.
Right, the last time we were in L.A., didn't the writer strike end?
Yeah, and this time we're in L.A., the actor strike ended.
Like, well, yeah, we don't want to take credit here, but like every time we're in L.A.,
we're the strike busters.
We solved it. And second, Rivian dropped its exclusive deal with Amazon to make them electric delivery vans. And that is actually good news for Rivian.
It means Rivian will continue selling vans to Amazon, but they can also sell to FedEx and UPS too.
And finally, Disney. Its stock jumped after announcing more cost cuts in its earnings.
The most magical place on earth is getting its budget cut.
And investors are
love
a
it.
Fan of it.
Yeah, they're big fans of less magic.
Yeah, like, we do not need a 48th Marvel movie, apparently. Now time for the best fact yet. This one whipped up by Jack and me from lovely Los Angeles.
Who invented the drive-through two-way speaker?
Earlier in the pod, at the beginning, we were telling you all about the drive-throughs being iconic in Los Angeles. And drive-throughs are hitting a record high right now.
The two-way drive-through microphone was invented in 1946.
And the chain that invented the microphone back then, Jack?
In-N-Out Burger.
In-N-Out Burger. They invented the
two-way microphone.
Basically a glorified walkie-talkie.
I'm sorry, can you repeat that, please?
A glorified walkie-talkie.
I'm sorry, can you repeat that, please? Two large Cokes. We'll see you up front.
That's really good. Somebody's getting a raise over there.
I'm sorry, can you repeat that, please?
Yetis, you look fantastic out there. And Jack, if you're loving the show, what should you be doing right now?
Follow us or subscribe.
Click to follow us on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you're listening to this podcast.
You'll get us every day. It'll be the best one yet, we guarantee it.
If you know, you know. And before we go, a happy birthday to Yeti Rotimi Williams over in Lagos, Nigeria.
She's also celebrating getting a master's degree in fintech and moving to London.
Not too shabby. And a happy birthday to Brittany Bond, a four-year Yeti celebrating a 32nd birthday down in Montclair, New Jersey.
Happy birthday to Marcia Flincham in La Palma, California.
And Daniel Nardelli is turning 10 years old over in lovely Las Vegas.
And happy birthday to Lulu Guo in San Jose, California.
And Jesse D'Alfonso is singing the T-Boy jingle and celebrating a birthday over in Atlanta, Georgia.
Happy birthday to Brian Lane, who's celebrating with his dink wife in their new home in Escondido.
And Davin Sood, a long-time Yeti, is celebrating a 27th birthday down in Medellin, Colombia.
And happy birthday to Brandon Brock, getting his third birthday shout-out on the show.
That's a record.
He's turning 30 in Jonesboro, Arkansas.
And apparently he was 30 the last couple times we gave him a shout-out.
Is that
Jack.
Right?
Yeah.
Somebody fact-check Brandon Brock.
Happy birthday,
and
Brandon.
And to anyone else celebrating something today, make it a T-boy.
Celebrate the ones.
This is Jack. I own stock of Amazon and Disney.
Dude, you did a terrific job on...
I'm not something every...
We're finishing each other's sentences, too.
This is classic, this is classic Nick. If you like The Best One Yet, you can listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
And before you go, tell us a little bit about yourself by filling out a short survey at wondery.com/survey.
We want to get to know you.